So to Australia's social media ban for under 16s and whether it could happen here. Christopher Luxon has said he's open to following Australia in setting a minimum age for accessing social media. He says he might have to think about that, but it's not in the coalition agreement or in their quarterly sort of targets. All right. So joining us to talk about this, Dr. Eric Crampton, Chief Economist at the New Zealand Initiative. Eric, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I'm looking at a piece that is up on the New Zealand Initiative website, opinion menu, social media ban on kids and the illusion of explanatory depth. I want to get into this, but first of all, what is the illusion of explanatory depth, please?
Well, it's the psychological phenomenon where if you think that you understand something, you can often trick yourself into thinking you have deeper understanding of it than you really do. So just take an example. I like to think I understand how my flush toilet works. It seems like a fairly simple thing. But if somebody made me step by step draw out a diagram that would satisfy a plumber explaining how all of the bits are interlinked and what happens exactly, I would probably fail. We don't really think about it. We just understand that it works. We imagine that we understand how it works. But if you have to detail it step by step, you find that, well, maybe our understanding of it was really an illusion. We have this illusion of explanatory depth for things that seem simple. I worry about this for social media minimum ages, because it sounds like the kind of thing that would be simple until you start to think about it for 30 seconds, if there are other priorities that you'd like to make sure aren't violated.
I'm going to go through some of those then. Well, can I use my explanatory depth illusion here just to go on what you said? So I'm worried about access, social media access for under 16s for all the obvious reasons that we know about. And I'm not a technical expert, and I try and keep an eye on my kids' usage patterns. Yep. But I don't consider myself an expert, and it's laborious and it's difficult and we have arguments. I don't know, all those things. Something comes along that makes that job kind of automatic in a way for me. I'm going to think, well, that ticks the boxes. It's it draws a line. It maybe stops access depending on how smart the kid is. And the ills and the evils of social media that they could be exposed to is as less as I can possibly make it now. That sounds like a great idea. Yep. Why would I get in the way of that?
Well, it really depends how vigilant you think they'll be in enforcing it and how much you care about user privacy. So I've thought about this for a little while. I'm not an information security expert. Maybe one of those will come up with a better way of doing it or finds an option that I've not seen. But when I drill down into it, every version of it that I can imagine either is fairly easy for kids to work around or imposes an awful lot of costs for adults who use social media or is the effective end of privacy on the internet, where you would no longer be able to set up an anonymous or a pseudonymous Twitter account or social media account to put things up if you are worried about repercussions from your employers or broader community groups.
Okay, well, you've got them right there.
Well, it's probably worth just working through the mechanisms and like the best one that you could possibly come up with and then why these things, it seems to me like you have to have at least one of those bad things. Easy workarounds or the end of privacy or incredible encumbrances on adult users. So the simplest thing you could imagine is, well, you sign up for social media and it takes a picture of your driver's license and it sees that you're over the age limit. Well, that's a solution that works if you don't care about the ability to have pseudonymous accounts. You might want it to be allowed to have pseudonymous accounts because you're worried about, for example, if you could be worried about the social media company itself. Or you could be worried that if it has to keep those records, the government can subpoena them or put them under a production order. So imagine that some future government is worried about what people have said online. Maybe they consider it mean, and they subpoena Twitter or whichever social media platform you're using to find out who it is that's the user who said something mean about somebody they like. It's probably best that the social media company has no clue who you are so that they can't satisfy the production order if that is something that you care about. So you wouldn't want to have just a show your driver's license or show your passport to the social media company. There are smarter ways of doing it. There are ways of doing it through RealMe potentially that are privacy conducive. Maybe before we get to that, we could go to the very simplest thing that they could do would be right now there are age limits on apps. You can put those in. They are easily worked around, but they're possible. So installing some apps is subject to an age limit. It requires that the child was truthful in setting up when they did the initial spec on their phone in saying how old they are. So Google knows how old your kids are, or Apple if you're using an Apple phone, and it can age gate different apps based on that age limit. That might be fine while it's on the phone. It doesn't do anything when you are on a browser-based version. So I log into Twitter both via my phone and via my web browser. I could decide to only use the version on my web browser. So it doesn't solve that. It also wouldn't solve if the kid wipes the phone and does a non-age-gated version, pretends that they are already 20, right? Because how can they tell? You don't have to put up an ID to set up a new phone. Okay. So that simple version could work, but it would be easily worked around. If you want something that's less easily worked around, well, you've got the option of putting up the driver's license, which obviously ends pseudonymity on the internet. There's a more complicated solution, though, that could be privacy respecting, but also I think winds up being fairly easily worked around. That version would work something like the following. We already have RealMe that's set up by the government where you've got a digital ID. Now, I don't have an account because every time that I've gone in, it's given me hassles and it's not worked out for me. So I have avoided having one so far. But I assume other people have one and it's worked out for them. You could set something up in there where RealMe knows how old you are, knows your age, and you ask RealMe to provide a verification code that confirming that you're over the age of 18. So I could go in there and say, yep, whoever gives you this verification code is over any age limit that is less than 48. Okay? If you have to be 49 to enter, then I wouldn't be allowed in. But if it's 47 and up, well, I'd be fine. Okay. You could imagine something like that, and then I would give that verification code to the social media platform. The social media platform would get in touch with RealMe and say, here's the code I was given. Does that code confirm with someone who is over the minimum age limit? RealMe would check the code, say, yep, whoever gave you that code, they're totally over the age of 16 or 18 or whatever the age limit is. And Twitter would then go on to authorize your account. Now, the obvious, easy workaround for that, if you think about it for a minute, well, some of the proposals out of Australia had even considered including WhatsApp as a social media company. That's how my kids talk to their grandparents. If that were the rule, well, I would log into RealMe. I would simultaneously open up a WhatsApp browser logged in with my kids, and I would produce the verification code using my identity with RealMe, and I would use that code to authorize their WhatsApp account because I think the rule is stupid and I don't care what the government thinks. So that would be the obvious workaround, which is fine because I'm a parent, but it would also be available to, say, a 17-year-old who wanted to pass a code along to a 15-year-old. Okay? So that is difficult to work around unless you're then also requiring that you show your photo ID to confirm that you're the person who matches the RealMe ID, and then you're back in the spot where you're ending pseudonymous accounts because Twitter has seen your ID and the probably is going to have to maintain an audit trail on that, and that can be subpoenaed, and then you're out of the potential for privacy again. The only workaround that I've been able to think about so far on this is one where you'd require frequent re-verification. So say that every fifth time you logged into Twitter, it'd give you a challenge saying, go to RealMe right now and get a verification code, and we're going to delete your account if you can't do it because we're going to assume that you faked your entry the last time. That starts being really, really burdensome for people like me who are on Twitter all the time. I would have to be frequently dealing with RealMe, and I hate it so much that I've not set up an account because it just hasn't worked out for me. Making me do that regularly is a form of torture. So that would be an option that imposes an awful lot of cost on adult users. There have been a few tech workarounds that have been suggested, and they might potentially work, but only to an extent and you wind up with edge cases that push you back into that trilemma that I talked about earlier, where you have to choose one of three bad things. So some people have suggested that, well, AI is really good now. You'd be able to, well, right now my computer can see me, obviously. We're doing this video. It can make a pretty good guess that I am over the age of 16. They can do that pretty well. And there's no need to link the face to an ID. You could mandate that it delete the face as soon as it's taken the picture and assess that it's someone over 18, like how the airport nudity scanners.
So it's not matching a face. It's nailing an age is what it's doing.
It could be guessing at an age. But the problem you'll have with that is all the people that you're going to be caring about are going to be right at that margin where like a 17-year-old will often look like a 15-year-old.
Yeah, no, okay? You're right. Yeah.
So
yeah,
what do you do when the challenge comes? Like it takes your picture. It says, hey, we think you might really be 15 and not 17. Prove to us that you're 17. Well, doing that requires something that is either easily worked around or imposes high cost on people who are actually 17 and not 15, or is the end of internet privacy for them. It pushes us back into that kind of messy world.
So why would you do it? Why would you do it then? This is the thing. Would you still push ahead?
If you think that the harms of social media to youths are really, really, really large and very well proven, and if you don't think that internet privacy is very valuable, or that the ability, if you're doing nothing wrong, what do you have to worry about in giving your real ID to Twitter or Facebook or whatever other social media company you use? Like, what could be the problem? The government can subpoena your records, and if you've got nothing to hide, there's nothing to worry about. If that's your general view of the world, then it's a no-brainer. Obviously, you'd want to set age limits because it's all benefit. You get rid of this huge cost that you believe is the case, and there's no countervailing cost on the other side because you don't think privacy matters that much. I worry that privacy matters a bit more and that the harms, well, they're potentially real, but they're not sufficiently well proven yet to my satisfaction to warrant that trade-off.
We're moving more and more to biometrics, aren't we? That's probably the ultimate destination for verification. We're moving towards that. And that information, once it's gathered, that's you. If you have that robbed, that's you robbed, right? On every level, potentially, depending on what biometrics we're talking about. So now I'm thinking about the IRD and the information that they have said that they gave to Meta, the hash strings of taxpayers' information, 268,000 of them, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, other material. So then the question of how secure is the data? Because if you lose an identity, that's it. It doesn't go further than that, right? I mean, and if that data is that comprehensive, someone can own you.
Well, there are still ways around that, right? So the mechanism that I talked about, or the option through RealMe, where Twitter never knows anything about you except for the verification code you gave them, and RealMe doesn't know anything about, like, it knows that you have set up an account with a social media company, but it would not know what your account is. And there are billions of users on Twitter, so it's hard to tell, right? They just know that Twitter has verified a code that that checks that the age is above an age limit. So that wouldn't have the social media company maintaining sensitive records. Other versions that would require the social media company to be doing that checking themselves, that imposes an awful lot of risk because it would be requiring them to store and maintain records for audit trails to show that they'd done everything that they could to keep kids off the platform, which they would certainly want to do in versions of the Australian legislation. Now, that legislation has not been written yet. They're expecting it, I think, in a month. The discourse on it so far has been that it's going to be heavy liability on the social media company if youths are able to get onto the platform. That would have them being fairly risk averse about youths getting on. And if the penalties for accidentally letting a kid on are bigger than the penalties for giant information breaches and having everything hacked, well, they're going to have to maintain that information to show that they're complying with the legislation as best they can. And there'd be potential risks.
Yeah, but what if someone in RealMe puts it out, leaks it out, sells it? See, this is the point I'm making.
Oh, that's already a risk. right?
Yeah, but that's an ultimate risk because, like I say, if it's an identity, a full identity that's robbed, you're at the end of the line. Good luck with recovering that before it's too late. But when we've already got an example of a blatant breach of privacy here, Taxpayers Union calling it the worst in the Western world so far, that's what they said, then going anywhere near this is incredibly potentially risky, very risky.
There are ways of reducing the risk, but I can't see how you do that without still making it pretty easy for kids to get around or ending pseudonymous accounts or imposing massive burdens on adult users. It's messy.
Do you see it as potentially an on-ramp? Because it's another thing that people worry about. It normalizes really essentially a digital ID and trains people to start using it. And if you tighten this regime up as you go, you could make arguments that everybody really needs to verify their age to make sure. By the way, how many people using VPNs and pseudonyms and all of that are kicking up disharmony? I wonder if this is being overblown in the first place.
Well, I think that the harms that they're pointing to are less around people with pseudonymous accounts putting up misinformation. The stated reason is around child protection, where there can be bullying on social media accounts or, for example, teenage girls, at least in the stories that are put up by those who consider there to be large harms, it's more things like on Instagram, girls seeing.
Well, I guess I'm saying, Eric, how big is the problem? You can make it sound big, but realistically big is the problem? If it's not that big, well, it's easier to deal with the small numbers in other ways, you know.
Jonathan Haidt believes that the problem is very large. He's spent several years researching this. The Chronicle of Higher Education recently put up a piece that was evaluating the strength of the arguments on his side and those who have been kind of going through every time he makes a claim and then debunking some of the evidence behind his claim. And it looks like a bit of a the evidence does not seem to me strong enough to warrant costly measures to that aiming at this. If you could do something, just if the only thing that you did was set an age limit within the app and put explicitly, we know that many kids will get around this by either wiping their phones or accessing it through a browser instead, and that is fine. The only thing that we are trying to do here is slightly increase the cost to make it slightly less likely that kids are using it. If that's all that happened, that wouldn't bother me too much. I worry, though, that that instead would, that'd be a first round. Then kids would use the obvious workarounds. Then people would be shocked that kids did the obvious thing in doing the workaround and that these loopholes must be closed.
Yeah.
And then you're back into the other worlds.
Yeah. If Christopher Luxon's listening right now, he probably read your piece or is aware of it. I don't know. What would the message be if you're considering this, Mr. Luxon? What does he have to think through? Well, all those things we've been talking about, but can you bullet point it? What does he have to think through?
If officials want to do this, make them explain slowly exactly how they would do it and why we are better off doing it in parallel with the Australians and potentially the British instead of just waiting a few years to see what the heck happens over there.
And you've also got the Labor leader basically singing from the same song sheet. So this is bipartisan.
Yeah, protecting kids is popular, or at least saying that you like protecting kids is popular.
Yeah, one of them doesn't even know who a woman or what a woman is. So we're kind of starting from there. Good luck.
Yeah, that's a debate I stay out of.
I know. You haven't been writing about that, just saying that. Thanks for coming on, Eric. Really interesting. A lot to think about there. Think through, right? That's what we've got to do. We've got to think this through, like, seriously. Yeah,
it's harder than it sounds. Maybe somebody has a better solution than I've been able to think of so far, and I hope to hear one if there is, because I would sure prefer one that were privacy and protecting, didn't impose massive costs on old people like me, and addressed what they see as being the harm. If there's a feasible way of doing that, I like that better than the options that are pretty terrible.
Who wants to be fiddling with phones with, you know, thumb joints that aren't hardly working anymore?
I'm still in pretty decent shape with mine.
No, I know. Okay. Well, mine probably not that bad, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Eric Crampton, Chief Economist, New Zealand Initiative. Thanks for coming back on, Eric. We'll talk again sometime. Thanks.
Sounds great.